Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Shut your fat mouth and open your little ears. Pete Donaldson and Luke Moore here for the Luke and Pete Show on Valentine's Day.
Romantic start to Valentine's Day, our Valentine's Day special.
Put it in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't do that. Don't start the show with that, mate.
It's just like a selection box of insults. So I'm opening them up. You've got your selection box of insults for Valentine's Day.
Oh, it's like love hearts, but
love
negative.
Hearts, yeah, but negative. Yeah. Get your hair cut, dickhead.
So you've opened them up, get your hair cut, dickhead. That's the one I've just
That's
had.
One.
I've got one here for you.
Yeah.
Fuck off, smelly.
Fuck off, smelly. Yeah. I'm quite smelly today.
Sort your, personal hygiene now. Is personal hygiene a barrier to a successful Valentine's Day, Pete?
Depends on what you're doing. If you want to do the old classic cinema manoeuvre where you put your arm around a lady, you don't want to introduce that move with a big guff from your underarms into her nizzle.
A big armpit guff.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe you're doing that one.
Can you do that? Could you ever do that when you were a kid?
Should I give it a go now? You imagine you can do it.
No, I've never. I don't think I've tried that many
Your shirt's
times.
Very tight. No, you can't do it.
So dirty.
Pete's trying to put his hand under his armpit and do the old farting sound. Can't do it.
It's not working.
But, I mean, personal hygiene would not be an issue if it was, for example, a Skype date.
What? Well, steady.
Well, this modern love.
A Skype date.
Modern love.
What? Do you just sit there with like a candle on each end going, having a bit of bolognese?
Granddad.
What do you do? Well, what's a Skype date?
Well, when I first met, wanking.
Is that what it is?
That's enough from you. We're a minute and a half in.
Said Skype dating.
After
what? It's got to end somehow.
As Horsegate taught you nothing.
If they wouldn't,
it's got to end somehow.
If they hadn't closed the gate.
Are all your romantic liaisons
if purely
transactional?
Again,
purely transactional. I can just imagine you being turfed out of a restaurant on Valentine's night, a woman in tears or a man, and you saying, it's got to end somehow.
It's got to end somehow. It's either tears or lovemaking.
Sometimes both.
Sometimes both.
What's the sketch, Donny? What are your plans for Valentine's Day this year? What's the sketch?
Come on, Donaldinho. Not a lot, really.
No?
I don't know.
Yeah, fire up the oven. Take the storage out of it first. Take the stuff out of
I'll have you know that it's not no longer used as storage because I did use it to melt some cheese in a terracotta ball.
Brexit means Brexit. That's all I'll say. Your oven. So for people listening who haven't, perhaps who aren't Luke and Pete Show completists, to bring them up to speed, your oven previously being used as an extra cupboard is no longer being used as storage because you used it specifically to melt some cheese over a terracotta pot.
Yes. So I melt some cheese, but then I realised I didn't have anything to dip it in. I had one solitary cracker.
This is like a Brexit fondue. It's a Brexit fondue.
One solitary dusty old cracker, which I dipped in. And I said to myself, no, Pete, it's Friday night and you deserve better. So I went downstairs. And
so you took your trousers off, relaxed, and then ate it.
And so I bought myself some chili heatwave Doritos. And they just, to be honest, there wasn't enough cheese for chili heatwave Doritos. And I just ate on Doritos.
Sorry, can I just say,
spent a whole weekend eating crisps.
You upgraded your Friday evening by saying to yourself you deserve better. And the upgrade consisted of a packet of Doritos.
Chili heatwave.
Chili heatwave's a good flavour.
We were talking about where crisps and snacks ends, and it's always a very tedious debate, but I was saying how much I love Pringles, because there's a dill pickle flavour of Pringles, and I very much want to try it.
So I took a picture of some dill pickle Pringles, sent them to Pete and said, look, I'm not having this is filthy. And he replied saying, I love it, my favourites. My Pringles are my favourite crisp, and Yeah, I'd love to try that flavour. And to me, Pringles aren't a crisp. I know it's tedious.
Well,
no,
it's just sweepings, isn't it?
Sweepings pressed into
together.
A high pressure pressing, and
there's a woman on the internet who recreates kind of weird stuff, like I don't know, famous cereals or famous candy. She tries to make her own artisanal but identical versions of things like Doritos, things like Pringles, and
Jaffa cakes are a popular one. You can do your own Jaffa cakes.
Yeah, but when you're not doing them on an industrial scale, it's actually quite hard to make it taste exactly the same. So she's just going off the ingredients on the back, and she on a physical on a chemical level trying to recreate the flavors by reading the back of the box back of the packet and trying to go that way. But watching her try and make just weird stuff like M&Ms and certain kinds of cereal is actually quite mesmerising. There's so much process that goes into it.
Absolutely, and I don't think it's going to be even technically possible to recreate a Jaffa cake, for example, exactly. Because, you know, the ingredients, I've got the ingredients list in front of me here. I mean,
there's no food there, is it? It's just all dust. It's all dust from different bags smashed together.
Emulsifiers, including soya lecithin, E476. You know, where do people, I don't know about you, where do you shop for your acidity regulator?
Exactly.
It's impossible.
I used to do that when I was a kid, try and find something that I liked and then try to recreate it from the things that looked like that thing in the cupboard in a similar kind of way. Oh, I like chocolate. And what's in the chocolate? Well, this, and this. That's white powder. Let's put it in there. It didn't make any sense. I can't remember how far I got along with any of this.
Let's forget about all this. Just enjoy a frozen sausage.
Let's just chow down on a little fro-fro.
So we are spending at least some of this romantic day together.
Yeah.
Do you want to take the opportunity to tell me how you feel about me on this Valentine's Day?
You're all right.
It's
peaks and troughs, isn't it? Like any relationship.
I think so. You got to learn to take the rough with the smooth. You got to learn to have some of your own hobbies, haven't you? Enjoy your own personal time.
My personal hobbies is not being with you.
Is that right?
Yeah.
But in many ways, you and I, it's been one of the most defining relationships.
I haven't had one of them for a while.
We haven't. It's been one of the most defining relationships of your life, surely, because we've worked together consistently for like over 10 years now.
It's longer than any other relationship I've had.
Yeah.
That's depressing.
And me,
isn't it?
I think.
Yeah.
And me.
Wow.
And we see each other probably more than you've seen some girlfriends in the past.
Correct.
3 times a week and at least.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I see the ones out in the Far East, my kids.
Yeah.
And the good
and there's
wife.
Probably as many arguments as there is in the proper relationship as well. So, you know.
We never thought of Skype arguing.
Skype wank. No. By the way, also yesterday was Galentine's Day, made famous by the TV
Kevin Gallen.
Made famous by former QPR striker Kevin Gallen.
Yeah. Right.
Galentine's Day. It's from Parks and Rec, the American
comedy
series featuring, what's her name? What is her name? She's called Leslie Knope in the show.
But why in my head did I think Rosa Parks?
It's nothing to do with Rosa Parks. She is called Amy Poehler.
Amy Poehler.
And obviously Chris Pratt, who's gone mad now, but used to be a pretty likable chap.
Has he gone mad?
Yeah.
Why?
Joined one of them churches, hasn't he?
I thought he was always into that kind of thing, wasn't he? He was a man who
but
hunted.
This week, Pete, he's been involved in, and I am going to use the word, a spat.
Okay,
Ellen
right.
Page about his church's attitude towards LGBT people and stuff. Anyway,
we've all had those friends,
but I quite like the idea of Galentine's Day because some of us have got those friends now.
What is
Galentine's Day is for women to appreciate other women. So don't be in hoc worrying about what men think about you or having a boyfriend. Just take your time to appreciate your mates. I think it's a really nice sentiment. I think men could do it well. I don't know what we call it. Valentine's Day. Yeah, Valentine's Day. Sounds
Jimmy
a bit like
Fallon.
Valentine's Day.
Sounds like Jimmy Fallon.
He could front it, dressed in a big penis outfit.
In Japan, on Valentine's Day, the men do not give the women presents. The women give the men presents. And in a month's time, it's called White Day, and the men give the presents of the women.
Interesting,
mother.
Different approaches.
A different approach.
And I think Valentine's Day now, I've been big on the days recently, I think Valentine's Day now is also, of course, Singles Awareness Day.
Oh.
A day set up to acknowledge that not everyone is in a relationship. So basically, we're in a society now where we have to make sure that no one, and I do mean no one, is left out.
Yeah.
And that's
it's
what this is trying to do.
It's hard. Yeah. By being obsessed with one particular thing and not letting anyone out, and not leaving anyone out, are you letting yourself out?
Yeah, so
it's kind of hard. You're constantly thinking about not leaving anyone out. Are you leaving yourself out by taking yourself out of the moment?
Yeah.
There was a wedding. Ad breaks coming soon, guys, don't worry. Yeah. There was a wedding recently, and it was on the internet, and basically there was this woman decided that she wanted every married woman to turn up to her wedding in their wedding dress, which I thought, that's quite a nice idea. And I thought, that's double bad for the singles in the room, isn't it? Or the divorcees, or the
Can you just go over that again?
Widows.
There was a wedding that was on the internet and what?
There's a wedding on the internet. Well, there's a wedding in real life that I saw through the internet, as I've seen most things, where the bride insisted that every single married woman turned up in her own wedding dress. Because women, they have their wedding dresses in the loft and they never get used again. Or they get given to charity. So everyone turned up and everyone looked wonderful.
But it's a big no-no going in white to someone else's wedding.
Is it? Yeah, yeah. Well, she wanted it in this case.
I suppose if it's come
I think
from
she
her.
Was in, I think she was in purple, actually.
Showing
very
off.
she just wanted to stand out more, she wanted to guarantee.
I'm alternative. My wife didn't, Mimi didn't wear a white dress on our wedding day.
My friend had sex in hers with a future fuck buddy. What?
Why do you have to do this?
Not me, not Mimi's dress. No,
why do you always have to do this?
Why?
You scrape under the fingernails of the.
Just saying, she got a bit of use out of it.
Of the debauched.
Yeah.
You are a man on this day of romance, as you so eloquently put there.
I just know a lot of women who are promiscuous.
Every time you do this, every time.
I wish I knew more men. They might give me some tips.
Listen. This is a day of romance. You are a man who I think, in my
Has
mind,
it in him.
No, in my mind, you are a man. You can disavow me of this as all you like. Right. I'm just setting the premise up. You are a man who is almost like one foot in the dating game,
right?
One foot in the happy single. I'm happy being single kind of game,
right?
And one foot.
And the rest of me is pure leprosy.
No, and another foot because you've got 3 feet in this analogy.
Okay.
Yeah, you just having a look at what's going on. You just keeping an eye out.
Right.
Can you break hearts all over the world today by declaring that at some point you are going to marry someone and you're going to be taken off the market?
Well, you don't have to be married, do you?
No, but
is that the only thing that's keeping you honest, sunshine?
I love being married.
That ring on your finger.
I love being married.
Dirty boy. Well, yeah, I'm sure you would.
Yeah.
Sort of walk in and go, hello, wife.
Yeah, that's what I do.
You look lovely today.
That's what all of our conversations
in your wedding
are like.
Dress.
Someone once described married life, and I think this is funny. Someone once described married life as two people asking each other what they want to eat for dinner until one of them dies.
Yeah, I think I'd probably be about right.
And that is like 90% of the conversation you have. What are you doing for dinner tonight? What are you going to do? Are you cooking or am I cooking? What are we having? What did we have yesterday? What are we going
to
have tomorrow?
I'd like to cook
we're going
more.
Out or whatever.
I'd like to cook more. I like cooking.
Well, take all that shit out your oven then.
I like cooking because I'm in my own... not Bechamel sauce, as it's called. What do you put on Eggs Benedict?
Hollandaise.
Hollandaise. I remember on Hollandaise last week in a...
that magic, sounds like it could have gone wrong.
In a bullet. What do they call it? Magic bullet? What they call those...
Nutribullet.
You
made Hollandaise in a Nutribullet.
Yeah. A lot of butter. I reckon that Nutribullet...
People ask me why I like doing this show. Why would you do a show with Pete Donaldson? Why, when we first started it, why is this a good idea?
It's a posh food processor.
I should have said back then, because he's the kind of man who makes Hollandaise sauce in a Nutribullet.
I'm the kind
why.
Of man who puts butter in a Nutribullet.
Yeah.
If you can't serve me now, then you sure will.
It's like 10,000 Nutribullets.
All you need is an adequate food processor.
Yeah.
I bet the Nutribullet looked at me putting all that butter in and going, this isn't what I'm built for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what did it taste like?
All right, it was all right. Bit of lemon juice.
What was the process?
I didn't have any cayenne pepper.
What was the process?
What do you mean?
You just stick it all in there and press the button.
Egg yolk. Well, you don't press a button, you jam down a Nutribullet. You'd ever Nutribulleted anything
I've
in your life, sunshine.
One. I've not used one. No.
You sort of put it in a pot and then jam the knives in it and then put it down, push it down, like you're trying to drown someone.
Yeah.
and it goes... Yeah. And then you got Hollandaise sauce and then ready for the poached eggs.
All right, so you're a man who makes Hollandaise and a Nutribullet.
Yes.
Before we end this section and go to an ad break and talk about some emails, if you could give some... budding romantic, some young people, I don't know, people who aren't that experienced in the world of love.
Yeah.
If you could give them some romantic advice on this Valentine's Day, Pete, what would you say?
250 grams of butter, 3 egg yolks.
How to make a long egg.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'll make a long load of... Salt.
250 grams of butter, 3 egg yolks is the key to life. A long, happy and fulfilling life.
Bit of lemon juice if you're feeling... Well, you need lemon juice. Put like, for crying out loud, don't miss out the lemon juice.
You're feeling acidic.
Jesus.
This is normally, traditionally, the part of the show where people who have emailed into hello@lukeandpeacher.com get their missives out by us. Mm. And I'm going to be honest with you, Pete Donaldson, this episode's no exception.
Yes.
Remember last week or was it Monday? I think it was Monday. I talked about people wearing high-vis jackets that imitate being police officers.
Oh, yeah,
on
and it
motorbikes.
Says politeness, please, or something like that.
And you didn't think it existed, but it does.
Right.
And Sam Cowan has been in touch and says, hi, guys, it was Monday's episode because Sam reliably informs us it is. You mentioned on Monday's episode that jackets that bike riders often wear that imitate the police. Mm. My girlfriend owns a pony. And I have noticed other people at her stables wearing these exact same jackets while riding their horses. It irritated me, and I wondered, why isn't it illegal? I'm glad it isn't just me that finds these things annoying. I didn't say I found them annoying.
Right,
said they happen.
So these guys are horseback wearing these be polite, like police copy jackets.
Yeah, because I think they think they're going to be police officers on the horseback, I suppose.
Oh.
So they slow down, so they don't drive fast past the horse.
Oh, I just thought maybe they were originally an equine discipline and the motorbike people thought, oh, let's have a bit of that. Because horses legitimately, you shouldn't really drive close to a horse.
I agree.
You should give them a bit of a wide berth.
I agree. Mm. Absolutely. And I think that's the point Sam's making in terms of why it's done, but he's saying it annoys him. It doesn't annoy me, Sam.
Oh, it doesn't annoy him about the horse people wearing it. It annoys him about the bike people wearing it.
No, everything annoys him. Yeah, he's very annoyed. He also ends this email by saying, I had a crippling fear of horses until I met my girlfriend. And while I'm still not very good for them...
Is she a horse?
It has certainly improved. So I thought this might be a useful vein for the podcast to look into.
Right.
Namely, what fears or phobias have partners helped people with? I quite like that.
Mm.
Hello@lukeandpeacher.com. If you've been helped over a phobia or a fear by a partner or a friend or a loved one and how it happened... And hopefully we can get Pete over his phobia of cooking.
I think that if your partner doesn't improve you in some way or makes you a better person or at least makes you want to be a better person in certain ways...
You've done that for me.
You've done it wrong.
You've made me realise that I don't have to be quite so organised about everything all the time.
Yeah.
Because you just fly by the seat of your pants and everything.
I do. And these pants are various colours.
You are a man who will, you know... For example, I don't know if you've actually done this, but it's definitely the sort of thing you sort of... allude to doing where, I don't know, we'll go and do like a live show in front of a theatre audience of 1,000 and you'll be perfectly content to, you know, throw caution to the wind and suggest we do the show with no sound check with some mics that you've bought for £12 from Maplin's or something.
Yeah.
You'll do that, won't you?
Love will find a way.
Love will tear us apart is what it'll do.
At the end of the day, I get to go on Maplin's twice to complain about the quality.
Rest in peace.
Got an email from Romeo Cruz.
An amalgamation of the Beckham's kids.
Yeah, weird. Hey chaps, Romeo here. Emailed this in a week or so ago and didn't hear back. I thought I might try again.
That old passive-aggressive chestnut. Yeah,
because I do genuinely believe you'll love this story. Don't worry, if you didn't read it out this time, I'll stop. Oh.
Well,
actually, I think I did circle this to be read out, but I think we ran out of time. So up yours, Romeo Cruz. The email on the last show about the guy doing LSD while watching the documentary that Luke suggested made me write this email. I'd been meaning to for a while, but this gave me the perfect opportunity to tell the story. In Australia, over New Year's, instead of going to a house party like you guys do in England, we have 3 or 4 day festivals over New Year's. I guess the weather's nice, isn't it? The first 3 days were fantastic. The music was great, and I was having a great old time with all my mates. However, the fourth night, New Year's Eve, was an interesting one. My mates decided that it was New Year's party. It was New Year's. They were going to do MDMA.
4 days of partying?
Yeah,
and on the fourth day doing MDMA.
They were going to do MDMA, a huge party drug here in Australia. Thanks for the drug news from Australia.
Yeah.
It's pretty big over here too. Having never done any drugs before besides weed, I was hesitant, but after some convincing by my friends that it would make my New Year's amazing, I finally accepted. I took the cap of MDMA at around 9:30 p.m., just as the Kooks came on for their set. It hit me just as they played their well-known song Naive, and things were amazing. It was one of the truly, it was truly one of the best experiences of my life. I'm not condoning drugs. You kind of are.
Oh, hang on a minute. It was truly one of the best experiences of my life. I'm not condoning drugs. This is one of the most baffling sentences.
If you can have the best experience in your life watching the Kooks, then the drugs have done their fucking... yeah. Then hello.
Do not listen to Dickie Ashcroft, because I tell you what.
However, as the night went on and on, we went past midnight. It started to wear off around 1 a.m. All my friends were keen to keep partying around until around 4:30 a.m. when everything
very specific
up,
we can't stop now because we've decided to party till 4:30 a.m. and that to me is non-negotiable.
It's when the Ubers are booked, when everything wrapped up, but I figured I had an amazing night and I didn't want anything to be ruined by staying out longer than I should, so I walked back to the tent by myself. Did he mention he was at some kind of music festival? I guess he was just some kind of event.
He said festival.
Oh, right, okay. Once I got back to the tent, I realised that I was not going to get any sleep because of the drugs in my system, so I thought I would listen to one of your podcasts.
Yeah,
I'd started binging your podcast at the beginning of December and was almost halfway through. What a Christmas. That is no way to bring in the new year.
It's Hall of Fame stuff. It is Hall of Fame stuff.
I got about 10 minutes into one of your episodes when Luke started to directly say into my ears, "How fucking good were the Kooks?" before Pete replied, "You're in your element, mate." All of a sudden, my heart started racing and I started freaking out as Luke and Pete both started to recount my night in their typical British voices. I calmed myself down and figured it was just the drugs in my system before. Without no word of a lie, I started hearing the Luke and Pete Show theme song being blasted from the festival area. I immediately started crying because I had no idea what the fuck this trip was. And if this was some kind of message from God that I needed to stop binging the Luke and Pete Show before I take drugs for the first time. I walked out of my tent and paced around for 5 minutes with nobody around me because they were still at the festival. I eventually went back to my tent and figured some music would calm me down. Stop putting your iPod on!
Yeah.
Just relax.
Do we get extra money for that show? I don't remember doing it.
I went to put my headphones in, but I couldn't find my phone. I turned the tent upside down and eventually just gave up. A couple of hours later, my mate entered the tent with my phone in his hand, saying that I'd given it to him before I went back to the tent because I didn't trust myself with it.
My goodness.
Next day I woke up and realised that my brain had imagined its very own Luke and Pete Show special, and I had my earphones in connected to nothing as I freaked out over you two recounting my night.
Yeah.
So he hadn't even started listening to the Luke and Pete Show.
No.
He just put his headphones on.
Just imagined it.
And imagined it.
That is a great business model. If we can get
Well,
people...
I'm annoyed because we didn't get the downloads.
That is true. But if we can get people... Yeah, it's true, it wouldn't work. I was going to say, if we could find a way of getting listeners to plug their headphones into nothing and just imagine us doing the show, save us a lot of work, wouldn't it?
Yeah, he says, I can still feel a tingle go through my spine every time I listen to another episode and hear the starting song. Love the podcast. Keep the good work. Romeo.
That's just the quality of it.
I mean...
Yeah, well, listen, there are people out there having experiences, mate.
Having experiences.
Experiences that you won't believe.
Off your chuff on Peyote, imagining you're listening to a Luke and Pete Show.
Attack ships off the shoulder of Orion.
Incredible.
While Luke and Pete Show blasts out.
Incredible. It does. That drug does not do that.
Right, let's talk about monkeys and fireworks.
All right, then.
Amy in North Carolina says her batteries are Golden Power Super made in China.
Howdy!
Howdy, y'all. I don't say that in North Carolina. That's more of a Texas thing, I think.
Put those... batteries in my gun. I'm going to fire them out like slugs.
Amy. Sorry about that, Amy.
I'm just going to the camera there. Yeah. Why am I... Why am I showing off?
Right. Amy says, recently I was helping my daughter study the opium wars. Oh, more drugs.
Okay.
And for our seventh grade social studies class, I mean, she should not be smoking opium for seventh grade, when we came across a bizarre piece of history that you might appreciate. The Chinese were struggling to defeat the British Navy when someone suggested strapping fireworks onto the backs of monkeys and hurling them onto British ships.
Wow.
It was reasoned that these monkeys with lit fireworks on their backs would run amok on the ships, thus setting them alight. This Dr. Evilish plan failed to come to fruition, however, when it was realised that no one would be able to get close enough to the ships to throw the monkeys. To my mind, it is perhaps more likely that no one wanted to be on a small boat full of angry monkeys with fireworks attached to them. I can understand that. You just imagine the recording session with Pete Dawson.
Well, I mean, you'd have to set fire to them and then throw them. And I mean, if you're throwing stuff, just throw a cannonball.
And Amy finishes by saying the plan was never carried out and the monkeys selected for this task sadly ended up dying of starvation. It seems fitting, though, that this idea of monkey warfare originated during the Opium Wars, as we can only assume that someone who had lain in an opium den for quite some time would think fireworks on monkeys would be a sound strategy.
That's a lovely little story, but I'm sad that all of the monkeys died.
Yeah, me too, really.
Yeah, but if you're at sea and you're at war, you can't be feeding monkeys if you've got nothing. Well, I mean, you'd eat the monkeys. Don't let them starve. Eat the monkeys.
Bushmeat, yeah.
Bushmeat.
No, don't eat monkeys.
You're cruising for a illness.
I think anyone who's ever watched like an episode of Alan Partridge at some point has thought monkeys and fireworks. that's something. Like that.
They wouldn't know what they were up to.
I remember going to a fireworks display at a friend's house once. Mm. I remember we were a lot younger, and he had his own place. And
did he smash up some lasers and some Jean Michel Jarre?
Oh. Boo, 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 boo. I cannot work without my light display.
Boo, 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 boo. Boo, 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 boo. Boo, 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 boo. It's a lot of that, isn't it? Ooh.
Yeah. Anyway, this party was quite
lasers.
Good. There was no lasers. No. Jean-Michel Jarre was sadly noticeable by his absence. But it was a good party, and it was pumping. And unfortunately, at one point, the fireworks had all gone off. I don't really like fireworks anymore, but this was back in the day when I was more naive.
Bang into the fireworks.
To quote the Kooks. But he didn't want the party to stop and to wind down, but there was no firewood left. So do you know what he did? He pulled down his own fence and set fire
and
to that.
Fire to it.
Yeah. So I'll sort it out tomorrow. I'll be able to buy wood tomorrow.
Well, he doesn't.
I'll buy fence panels tomorrow.
Well,
but I'll use it for
he
wood.
Doesn't, he doesn't care. He doesn't care what his garden looks like.
I respected it.
It's definitely not the bonfire of the vanities.
No, he's not. Exactly. Absolutely. I respected it. Very good. Pete, it's your turn to do an email. Do you want me to do another one?
Oh, I'll pick up my blooming phone then.
You're doing it. We'll squeeze one more in.
We'll squeeze one in. Hello, Sally Carter. She sent two emails. The first one was sent at 12:59 a.m. and then another one was sent at 1:03 a.m.
This is not another one taking drugs and being in a tent somewhere and listening to the Luke and Pete.
You know what? I started it just because of the titles.
Go on.
The first title just says, "I have seen a horse vomit." And the second one, 4 minutes later, "P.S. I'm pretty sure she lived."
Wow.
So I'm strapping myself in.
Me too. I'm strapping a firework to my back.
Sally in Atlanta. Great city. Possibly a great Sally. We don't know yet. We spoke previously about wood lice and pill bugs, so maybe,
Oh, so she's a recently emailer.
I know it's very soon to email him, but you guys, I have seen a horse throw up. For a few years during elementary school, my brothers and I had to go to another school after regular school was over until my parents were done with work and could pick us up. I mean, that is compounding school, isn't it? Go to another school.
Yeah. What school's finished? Well, not for you.
Extra school.
You know what you're doing? What? Yeah. Is it more school? It is.
Mind you, though, they had a big playground and a pool and a roller skating rink in the basement and we absolutely hated it.
Where's this email going?
Is that the schools in America, they've got football teams and roller skates.
Well, there's a horse coming to this. She would call it the steer.
They also had two horses that spent most of their time in a little fenced-in pasture next to the playground. I think they got to take turns riding them maybe 1 or 2 days a year. They were called Cleo and Maybell. So to get from the school building to the playground, we had to walk in a single file line on a little sidewalk that wound around the building and past the little horse stable where their water trough was. Where the water trough was. And one day, as we were passing the horses, I heard murmurings around me that Maybell was sick. Surely enough, when I passed the water trough, there was Maybell, and she threw up.
Yeah.
It wasn't very foody, but still quite projectile and more like yellow bile. Needless to say, this is a traumatic experience for 8-year-old me, and I remember it quite vividly. Also, I think I remember it so well, partly due to a mnemonic. I can never say mnemonic. Mnemonic. Which is the complete defeating the object. Yeah. Maybelle was the favourite of the two horses because my birthday is May the 1st.
Right.
I swear this happened. I know memory is a weird thing, but isn't that way just way too much detail to be an invented memory? Or is there an alternative universe where there's a timeline in which horses can vomit and maybe Maybelle really did throw up?
Yeah, I mean,
we're relying on some secondary youthful sources here.
Well, we have had corroborating sources saying that they can't, though. Mm. So, I mean, this is a mystery that's going to run and run.
They could have had some kind of yellow food that stuck in the aforementioned long face. We don't need to go any further than that.
No.
Yeah.
I might follow up on that next time around with another email. But look, I think we probably get into a situation where they generally can't vomit, but you might find that a couple of them can.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a bit like some people who can double joint their thumbs or whatever and bend them back.
Woo-hoo.
Yeah, woo-hoo. Like that. Or, yeah. You know, I mean, it's going to be variations, isn't there? It's an amazing magic trick, that.
Yeah.
That's enough time for this time around, I think.
Wow, really? That's like something I would say.
Did you say that then?
Let's get the fuck out of here. Where we're going, we don't need roads.
Hello, Luke and Pete Show. Hello, at Luke and Pete Show, to get in touch. And we'd love to hear from you. Have a lovely weekend.
Yeah.
You're very welcome.
Stay out of trouble.
To some back episodes, for example,
not
until
if
Monday.
You're on drugs.
No, don't do that. And we'll see you on Monday the 18th. Look forward to it.
This was a Radio Staccato production.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we'll weigh around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.